Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. Today's In Focus features the Climate Network Lanark Youth Group and the action that two high school students are taking against climate change. Their focus is on bees and butterflies as important pollinators. I'm pleased to welcome grade 12 student Jordan Ann Rich of Elmont and grade 10 student Clara Meisner of Perth. Thanks for joining us, both of you.
Thanks for having us.
So, why did you become involved in Youth for Climate Action? Let's start with you, Jordan Ann.
So I first heard about it on my during school. It was on one of the school announcements. And at the time, my school didn't have like an eco club that I could join. And I was really, and it's really important to me to be able to give back to future, to younger students and to be able to get involved with climate. And so I joined the Youth for Climate Action, which is part of the Climate Network Lanark Group. And since then, we've been working on a lot of pollinator initiatives.
And Clara, what about you?
So I joined this group as part of a volunteer activity for high school. I came across it and I thought it was a great idea to have a youth group for climate action. And I've always been interested in the environment and ways we can protect it. So I thought this was an excellent way for me to volunteer my time. And since then, I've just stuck with it because it's been an amazing experience.
So how many youth are as passionate as you are about climate change, do you think?
Not really sure, to be honest. I would like to think a lot. I think it's important that youth get involved with climate action because we're the future generation. We're going to be inheriting the world, and it's our actions right now that are going to matter for our future. So I hope that a lot of youth are interested, and I hope that a lot of youth get involved.
You know, both of you are at different schools, one in Elmont, one in Perth. It's kind of neat that you got together to work on this project. Did you meet through the Youth Group for Climate Change?
Yes. So we met through the Climate Network Lanark Group, and it's kind of cool because Lanark County is so spread out, but with the group, we've been able to kind of connect Elmont and Perth and the different regions that are part of Lanark County.
Nice. Now, you've chosen to work with pollinators. Why did you choose to protect our pollinators? Why did you choose that as a focus? Jordan Ann?
So we decided, it started when we were working with the Climate Network Lanark and with the youth group. We heard about an opportunity presented by the David Suzuki Foundation called the Butterfly Way program. And so both Claire and I were like, oh, that sounds interesting. And so we signed on to that. And then we kind of joined the two groups that way. And we were able to use the youth group as a way to accomplish the goals that we had set with the Butterfly Way program.
And by the way, congratulations for being recognized by the David Suzuki Foundation for your work. I think that's great for your contribution to the National Butterfly Way project. I think that's great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about that, but first let's talk about the pollinators. What are they? Why are they so important?
Well, pollinators are very crucial parts of our ecosystems, and there's significant concern regarding decreasing populations due to climate change, loss of habitat, use of pesticides, and other chemicals, and also invasive species competing with our native plants. And they are key to our survival and the survival of all of our ecosystems. So it's incredibly important that we protect them.
Now, when you're talking about the pollinators, you're talking about bees and butterflies specifically, aren't you?
Yes. However, pollinators also encompass, so it's bees, butterflies, hummingbirds, moths, even wasps, which is kind of interesting. It's any insect that spreads pollen around, so it's not just bees and butterflies.
Okay, so, and you've already mentioned some of the threats to their existence. Let's talk about the National Butterfly Way Project. What was that about?
It's sponsored by the, it's brought, it's It's run by the David Suzuki Foundation, and the goal is so anyone can join or apply to join. And then once you're confirmed, you are able to participate in webinars and educational webinars and seminars. And then the goal is for every person to plant 12 pollinator gardens, or gardens planted with pollinators in mind, using native plants as much as possible. And then the idea is that once there's all of the butterfly rangers, as they're called, plant all the gardens, then they can make a pathway through all of Canada for the pollinators to follow.
So this sounds like it's a national program.
Yes.
Right across the country. That's great. Now, you also initiated something called a Bee Bud program. What was the purpose of that?
So that was our program that we did last year. And so we got a bunch of native plants from members of our community. And then we used those native plants to plant pollinator gardens on people's properties. And so they would pay by donation for their garden. And through that, we were able to each reach our goal. And the money that we raised through planting on people's property, we used to create pollinator gardens in our communities for the public.
Now, you mentioned native plants. What are some examples of those?
Go ahead, Claire.
Okay, there's huge variety of native plants. Some of the more common ones are yarrow, Canada anemone, wild strawberry, bee balm, blue lobelia, jewelweed.
You've got a good memory.
Susans. There's so many.
So there's specific plants that we should plant for bees and certain ones for butterflies. Is that right?
Yep.
Yes. There's even specific flowers for hummingbirds too. And it's important to plant native plants because as Claire was saying about invasive species, is that the native pollinators, which are the ones most threatened by climate change and loss of biodiversity, is that they can only, lots of times they can only feed from certain plants, like monarch butterflies can only lay their eggs on milkweed. And so it's important in that way that we use native plants in gardens as much as possible.
So if we see a milkweed in our garden, don't pull it, right?
Right. Even though it says weed, yes. It's actually a flower.
Right. Right. Now, how can we plant more milkweed? Just leave it and it'll propagate or what?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Are there places that we can actually purchase native plants?
You can try at your local garden centers. A lot of times it's hard to find native plants. A lot of them are not native. But they grow wild, and a lot of people have them in their garden already, and they spread. So you can take them from your neighbors if you ask, share them around the community so everyone has them.
And I suppose if we plant a lot of native plants or encourage them to grow it, they'll choke out the other plants that are invasive species, right?
Yes. Yes. That's the goal.
Okay. So what do you propose that we should do or that can be done to help protect our pollinators then? What should we do?
I would say that the one thing we've been focusing a lot on is planting native pollinator gardens, as we've been saying, and it's really important that we do this because although they look nice, like the lawns that we have that everyone wants that are all green, they're not very good for our pollinators. And so whenever we plant with a lot of variety, even just different blooming times and colors and heights of garden in our gardens with the flowers, then we can provide more shelter and food sources for the pollinators. And it's also important that we don't avoid using herbicides and pesticides as much as possible, even if you're trying to use it to kill the invasive species, because as soon as you use the pesticide and then the pollinators come, it kills the pollinators.
Okay. Now, you talk about creating pollinator walkways or gardens. How do you go about that? What does that look like?
So we've created this kind of project called the our pollinator walkways. And so once you plant a native pollinator garden, you can fill out a form on our website with all the plants you've used and send us some photos so that we can add it to our garden. And then our goal for this year is to grow this map so that we can have an actual walkway that people can follow and look at all the gardens that have been planted for pollinators in Perth and Elmont.
And what does this map look like?
So it's a Google map. Sometimes on Google Maps, you can create your own map. And so we've created our own map of Lanark County. And for everyone that has a pollinator garden, we've put a little flower, and then you can see when you zoom out, you can see all of the flowers around Lanark County.
And this would inspire all of us to do something at our own place, right?
Exactly, that it's not as hard. If your neighbor can do it, then maybe you can too.
Right. Okay. So let's talk for a minute about the environment that native pollinators need. What kinds of things do they need to survive?
I think one of the biggest things is our native plants because they, as Jordan said, they rely off each other. Also, some sort of shelter. So if you want to put like a log or a rock in your garden, that will give them some shelter from any predators. Not using pesticides like we mentioned before.
It's also
Okay.
important, oh sorry, for ground, sometimes there's bees that are ground dwelling, and so oftentimes whenever we would rake up the leaves, you're like raking up the pollinators that may live in them. So if you can, it's good to leave the leaves, they call it leave the leaves, and then it provides more shelter over the winter.
Okay, so don't rake up our lawns in the fall then, or in the
Exactly.
spring even. Leave it for a while till things get going, eh? Till they lay
Yes.
their eggs and things get going. So in other words, don't disturb things and make it as neat as we think we should make it.
Yes, the mess is actually
Is
good.
okay, the mess is good. Leave those old logs lying and that sort of thing because the bees live in that and that sort of
Yes,
thing.
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if we were planning a pollinator garden, then what design tips would you have for us?
It's good to include as much variety in blooming times and colors and heights as much as possible, as well as to if you have plants that are like all blue, all the same color, it's good to clump them because of how that insects see.
Okay. So if you have a bunch of blue plants, keep them all together or yellow.
Yes, exactly.
Are they the colors that bees and butterflies would go to the most? Or what do you think?
Red is actually, well, I know for
Oh.
hummingbirds it's red.
Okay.
And other than that, I think it depends on the species.
But they certainly see different colored flowers, it
Yes,
sounds
they
like.
do. Yeah.
Okay. Now you have a plant drive coming up. Who would like to talk about that first? What it is, when is it, where is it?
I can go for that one.
Okay, Clara.
So our plant drive, currently we are collecting plants from people in our communities. And so we have a plant drive coming up on for Perth, it's June 2nd and 3rd, and for Elmont, it is the 1st and the 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. for both locations. And so people can order plant packages on our website through a form. And the plant packages include a variety of different native plants, a bee bath, which is just a little dish with some rocks in it, that you can put water in for pollinators. It's important that they don't have too much water so they don't drown. And then also a decorative log or rock for shelter, and some fungal dominant compost for your garden. And also with that compost will come like a science handout. And some care instructions will be sent to your email after you pick up your package.
Okay, so you go to these places that you've mentioned to Elmont, to the library parking lot in
Yes.
Elmont, and in
Yes.
Perth, it is where?
It's to be determined, but we're thinking the old shoe factory parking lot in Perth.
Okay, and Elmont is what, June 1st and 2nd? Perth is June 2nd and 3rd
Yes.
from
Yes.
4 to 7?
Yes, for both locations.
Okay, for both locations. How does one participate? Is there an order form or something, or do you just show up and you know, pay some money, get the plant pack, and away you go home to plant everything, or what?
So you have to fill out the form beforehand, so then we can ensure that everyone that comes will have a plant package. And you can go to the Climate Network Lanark website, and on the website under the Youth for Climate Action section, there's a link to the form there.
Okay, so fill out the form online, and then show when
Yes.
that's done, show up, and then you know how much to have there ready for people.
Exactly.
Okay. And the proceeds go to planting local community pollinator gardens.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
In Perth, I'm going to be continuing a garden at Stewart Park and then another one at Last Duel Park. And if we have more plants, I might try to do a retirement home again.
Oh, that's fantastic. You guys are doing a great job. So, do you have anything more to add that we haven't covered that you'd like to say before we go? Maybe we've
I don't
covered
think so. I
everything.
think we've covered most of it.
Well, that's great. So, for more information, our listeners can go to lanarkpollinatorgardens@gmail.com or visit climatenetworklanark.ca. How does that sound?
That's perfect.
Great. We also do have an Instagram account if anyone would like to contact us through that. It's Lanark Pollinator Project on Instagram.
Okay. Thanks very much to both of you. It's been a pleasure ch talking with you, and good luck with your project this summer.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
us.
You're welcome. Thanks to Clara Meisner and Jordan Ann Rich with Climate Network Lanark Youth Group. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.